Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Divine Manifesting with Christy Whitman and Rebecca Grotto. Rebecca, say hi.
Hey, Christy, it's so good to have you back. I missed you.
Oh, thank you for that. I missed you, too, and it's so good to be back, although I was in a beautiful, beautiful place in the world in St. Martin, and I just absolutely love my life.
We were all salivating last week and acknowledging you are just a master manifester. The mistress of manifesting. Yeah. So how was it, Christy? It was wonderful.
Thank you for asking. It was really wonderful. It was just, I felt so blessed because the water in St. Martin is just so absolutely beautiful. And I was able to just really appreciate, what I wanted to create and what I've created in my life, because, you know, several years ago, one of the things I wanted for my career was I wanted to be able to work anywhere that I could live anywhere I wanted to, go anywhere where I wanted to, and literally work if I wanted to, if I felt inspired. And, you know, it was pretty great because I love what I do as a coach and an author and a speaker. And it was so great to be able to be by the pool that was overlooking an affinity pool that went literally into the ocean, and the colors of the ocean were just this beautiful turquoise blue. And it was so great because I felt so inspired. So I was able to pick up my computer and take it with me to the pool and, you know, just type away and get a lot of stuff done, and felt really, really grateful.
Oh,
so
wonderful, Christy.
Yeah.
Good creation.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I got to tell you real quick, I went, my girlfriend met me there, and we went swimming with the dolphins.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they're such magical, magical creatures. It is just amazing to me. I mean, you look at them and, like, the noises that they make and the way they swim around and everything, you just get happy. It's like you could, I think there's actually studies out there that show that being around dolphins, you get endorphins that go off in your head.
Uh-huh.
And I literally felt that. I felt just so happy.
Uh-huh.
And even more so than normal. And we got to play with them, and we were doing tricks with them. Like, you know, they were whaling us across the pool and, you know, like hanging onto their fins. And another trick they did is they came up underneath our feet, and literally, like, we were standing up. It was almost like we were skiing
with them
underneath our feet.
Uh-huh.
It was great. It was great. So enough about my vacation.
Yeah. How wonderful.
It was great. So today we're going to be talking about the law of allowing again, and we're going to try to dig a little bit deeper because this law really, really is so important. It is the law that literally will bring all of your dreams into manifestation. I mean, law of attraction is a very, very important law, and just as a review, that law states that which is likened to itself is drawn. So basically what you focus upon expands. Again, thinking of it as a boomerang. What you throw out in your thoughts, your feelings, what you are vibrating, you are, you know, sending that out, and you are getting a matching signal back, and that's what you're getting back into your life. So did you want to say anything more about that, Rebecca?
No, go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, another law that we've discussed is the law of deliberate creation, and that's basically that which I give thought to, I begin to attract. So, and what I give thought to with emotion, I attract more quickly. So when we are in a place that we can deliberately put our thoughts, deliberately change our emotions, we are literally becoming deliberate creators. But then there's a third and very, very important law, which is the law of allowing. And there's many ways that you can apply with this law, but one of them is allowing other people to be as they are. You know, so that when you're in a relationship, it's not that control type of thing where, you know, someone has to meet your pictures to be a certain way. And it really brings a lot of freedom and flexibility into a relationship, and really allows you to connect with a person heart to heart instead of mind to mind with the pictures that we have of the way we expect someone to be. And the other way is the way the universe delivers all that we desire. So I wanted to share an exciting example with you, Rebecca, and of course with our listeners. I just finished doing one of my abundance courses, which is a five-week course that literally transforms your consciousness from lack to abundance. And it's an amazing, it's one of my favorite coaching programs that I do. And I just finished that, my last class on July 12th. And as a follow-up, what I do and when I offer everybody that's on the coaching calls is I give them a 30-minute free coaching session with me. And I had a girl today that was just so excited. And when I met her at the Learning Annex in San Diego, and she was real, I remember meeting her, and she was really nervous. It's almost like she felt, when you listen to her, she had this, like, almost like she sounded like she was crying whenever you would talk to her. She was just real nervous. And through the class, I could tell as she started to meditate, as she started to open up, as she started bringing in this abundance and being connected with well-being, her voice stopped being as shaky. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed because it was such an immediate transformation within the first class. I thought, oh, my God, listen to your voice. It's totally different. And she said, yeah, I feel different. Well, today it was great because we did the follow-up, and she was telling me all these different things that have occurred because of the class. Like, she literally is now in a place where she doesn't even have to worry about money, where she's like, I could do everything I want to do, whereas before I couldn't. My voice is a lot less shaky. Being around men used to make me really, really nervous, and now I'm not nervous anymore. And the most important thing that I just thought was just so profound is she said, you know, you had mentioned something about comparing myself to other people that really, really got me. And I know that this is a huge one for us, Rebecca, because this is what our teachings are basically all about.
Oh, this is it, Christy. This is the crux of what we've been working on for 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll be happy to know that she said, and I'll just give you the quick story. On one of the calls, there was a woman named Emily, and she had done a couple of my other classes too, and she was just flying high. I mean, you could just hear it in her voice. And she said, you know, I got to tell you, I signed up for these classes to better my life, and she said, and something amazing happened to me. I was with a friend, and this friend saw that I'm so different, and I have this, like, light in my eye, and, you know, just this light about me, and she said, and she sees my inner joy. And so she asked me, what have you been doing? And so she had shared some of the information and some of the teachings, through the classes with her friend. And, you know, she was telling me this, and she said, you know, I always thought it was all about me, but it's really not. And I said, you now know my life's purpose. My life's purpose is I need to empower myself so that when I'm empowered, I can then empower others. And she was just flying high. And one of the other women that was on the class, she just goes, oh, great, I'm just totally deflated. I'm not even where she is. And I said, whoa. That's what this teaching that I do with Rebecca Grotto is all about. I mean, that's what the fairest one of all, that's what this female competition is all about, is that each and every person is on their own path. Each and every single person is at a different starting point. Each person has their own different perspective. But the minute you start to compare yourself to somebody else, you completely are in resistance. Mm-hmm. And you can't bring in all that you desire.
Right.
And, you know, she just said it literally changed my life because I'm so much slower than other people. And I've always judged myself for that. But I really, really got it that it's like, mm-hmm. you know what, I'm moving at my own pace and mm-hmm. it's good enough.
Uh-huh.
And it just made, I thought that would just totally get you excited because I just felt like, you know what, that is it right there. That is just,
well, you know. And, you know, you're absolutely right, Christy. And 4 years ago, that is exactly what you and I were both sort of, these light bulbs were going off and we were getting it at such a deep level. And that's why we made the commitment to try to give this to other women, because I think it's really, although men do it too, competition is just huge among men, but they do it very differently. We get all into that in the book. I think the reason it's so destructive for women is we're just, for some reason, we've been so programmed to compete in such a harmful way. And when we compete, I think rarely, I mean, we may have momentary feelings of, ha, I got her. But, you know, again, look at what you create when you're coming from that place. I think for the most part, when we compete, there's this feeling of inadequacy, and then it's everything you and I are talking about on this show. What then do you attract to yourself when you're in that mode of competition? This other woman that you're talking about, that was such a great example, she couldn't look at, and by the way, we do talk about this in the book, about how you can shift from competition to inspiration, but because she didn't have that information, she couldn't look at Emily and say, wow, I aspire to be, teach me, show me.
Exactly.
Let me expand in my consciousness because of what you're creating in your life. Instead, she had to go to inadequacy and shrink down. And again, the thing, everything in me goes, whoa, watch what you're now creating in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what you're attracting because of this. And I think, if I'm getting you right, how all of this ties in with the law of allowing is allowing that universal flow, that divine energy of well-being to come to us and to move through us and to flow through us gently and beautifully. But if we're in competition or if we're you know, feeling anything constricted, or, you know, we're not in that flow of allowing. Is that where you were going with that, Christine?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of those things when we talk about resistance. I mean, competition or even just comparing yourself to another person, it takes you away from that space of well-being. It takes you away of your true nature and being able to be in a space where you're appreciating yourself. Because we, you know, we've talked about this on the show before, that appreciating and loving yourself, those are the highest vibrations in the universe. When you're looking at another woman going, oh, she's thinner, oh, she's richer, or she's got a hotter husband, or, you know, whatever.
Or cuter shoes. How many of us have gotten knocked off because she's got a cuter set of shoes?
I mean, to our listeners, this whole process from Rebecca and I started because a girlfriend of mine got a bigger diamond ring. And I went into, like, a total tailspin and was like, oh, my God. You know, it's like I look back now and I go, are you kidding me? I mean, something like that knocked me off. And thank God, you know, we teach women how to basically go through the whole thing of competition by recognizing, releasing it, and then really reclaiming who you are in our book. But I look back now and go, I cannot believe some of the things I used to get knocked off on and some of the things that would really be such resistance for me. And I get now how I was not allowing my well-being, my perfect being to come through and to be happy and inspired and all that in my life. I was just making everything wrong.
Mm-hmm. So. And that's what comparison does is, coming back to the law of allowing is accepting and allowing ourselves to be exactly as we are and accepting and allowing our life to be such as it is and to be in harmony with that. And I think, you know, oftentimes I talk a lot about observing my life as if it were a river. There's a flow. There's a, you know, I know last week Karen and I talked about the flow of the river, and I think sometimes, you know, it's always really fun when the river is going really fast and, you know, boy, are we getting places, you know, rapidly, and it just, it's fun and exciting and it's exhilarating, and there's a judgment on that, that that's good. But then if the river slows down and, you know, and it is not going at the pace that I want it to be going, can I allow it to be, you know, can I allow it to slow down? Can I even allow it to get stuck at times? And when I think of the law of allowing, that's what comes to me, is just letting things be such as they are and also being in a very profoundly surrendered place. You know, I know a lot of the work I do is all about letting go and surrendering. And so many people, you know, talk to me about, well, isn't that just resignation? Isn't that just apathy? And you know, I almost want, you know, to jump through the phone and say, absolutely not. When you are actively practicing surrender or allowing, it's a discipline. It's an active, it's aligning yourself actively with the divine, with the divine purpose, with the divine flow, such as it is. And it's almost, it takes effort and energy to not allow your thoughts to want to control the way things should be, but to really work on, you know, getting in touch with that flow, whether you see it as the flow of a river or the flow of the divine energy. But, you know, and I think, and then to bring it down to a very personal level, to be in touch with the flow of ourselves, such as we are. And boy, what, like you said, Christy, what's the first thing that pulls us out? Comparison and competition. We can sort of start getting into our own flow and being really happy with the way things are going in our lives because we're not thinking they should be anything but what they are. And then all of a sudden we look beside us and we go, really? You just got a new car? Really? Gosh, I guess I should be thinking about a new car, you know, but that thought wasn't in my head, you know, 5 seconds ago. Or really? You just lost some weight, huh? You know, and then there I go, leaving my sense of well-being and such as it is, my life such as it is, and feeling so content to going into that whole competition comparison thing.
And so, that's exactly what you just said, and Abraham talks about this too. When you notice when someone, you know, gets a new car or they go on vacation and you feel like, ooh, I want to go there, you know, or, you know, I don't know if any of the listeners was feeling like, I want to go to St. Martin, you know, it's like, well, be inspired. Go to St. Martin.
Yes.
I mean, it's totally available to you. Instead of feeling like, well, you know, she can do that, or, you know, she got the new car, or she got this, or, you know, he got that. I mean, it's, use it as an inspiration and almost like a realization of what you want to create in your own life, and
right.
have that trust and that faith in the universe that you too can create it, because that literally is the basis of comparison and competition, is that you look at someone else and say, oh, they have it now, I can't.
Right.
And that is such a lie. That's why I love doing my abundance principle coaching. And, you know, Rebecca and I have an amazing course that's coming up in October on the whole thing of self-love. And sorry, guys, it's just for women, but, you know, you might want to tell your sisters, mothers, wives, you know, girlfriends about it, because it literally is life-changing. And but it's just, it's so important getting into that space of self-love, because when you're in that space of self-love, there's something that comes with it. It's like there's faith in yourself, but there's also in faith in your ability to create, but also faith in the universe. And when you're in that magnificent space of, you know, all is well, and I'm okay as I am, and loving yourself and appreciating yourself, other women aren't a threat. They're a inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they sort of recede in the background. They just become what they should be. Which is just friends. You know, they're just our friends. They're not our enemies. They're not our rivals. There's no reason to get catty with them. You know, it's like they just become a support system to us. And I think one of the biggest reasons I love the fact that we ventured into this journey, Christy, is because too many times I think women are very alienated from each other. Although I think on the surface a lot of us would say, oh no, I have a lot of friends. You know, I have a lot, you know, mothers groups and this and that and my book club, and I have a lot of women friends in my life. But when I really talk with women and get down to the nitty-gritty, it's like, how close really are you? I mean, how many really good friends know your deepest secrets, and do you really let in? And I think a lot of women keep one another at bay. You know, we keep each other at arm's length because we really don't trust each other. I mean, and again, there's this just this programming that, you know, and look at the media. I mean, my gosh, the media just totally exploits that.
Reality shows.
Reality shows, the fur is flying and the claws are out, all those little expressions that we love to, you know, paint this picture that that's what women do. Watch your back with her. She'll get threatened, put a knife in your back. And so I think that, you know, when competition arises and when we're not kind of running our own race, staying in our own sense of well-being, keeping our eyes focused on our lives, then what we're doing is we're going outside of ourselves, and that's where competition comes in. You know, but I think, let me say this a little more clearly, when we're in that space of allowing and well-being, and we're just completely within our own game, you know, journeying in our own lives, focused on what we're doing, what we're creating, other women are no longer a threat. There's no opportunity for them to be a rival. In fact, we begin to see them as our support system. And I think, you know, too often, again, I feel like women lose out on that support that only another woman can give us. You know,
Absolutely.
That real kindred spirit feel. And, I mean, so many women that I work with feel very isolated, feel like the only friends they have are guy friends, because they don't trust women, and I just that makes me so sad. And that has nothing to do with the quality of women that they're bringing in their life. I think it has everything to do with how much they're allowing competition to rule their lives rather than getting in their own game and seeing other women as their support system. You know what I'm saying, Christine?
Oh, I do, and there is nothing. I mean, I was the same way. I have a lot of friends, and I still have a lot of very dear friends, but I would keep them at a certain, you know, point away from me, because I just didn't know how much I could trust them, and you know, it was hard. And now I feel inspired by my friends, and even since then, what I've created by releasing it is I've created a lot of other very supportive women.
Yeah.
You know, when I now when I look back on my life and the friends that I have attracted just recently, it's like these women are like so supportive of me and are like, God, go, you know, you go, girl, kind of thing. And just one goddess to another goddess, you know, going, wow, look at the difference you're making, and wow, you know, inspire me, and then I get inspired back. And, you know, I've always had that mutual respect with Rebecca, and it's been great because we've always been able to see that goddess in each other and not have that competition. But even though we went through some periods during the book, because
sure.
whenever, you know, anything in the universe is energy, right? So when you when you're about to undertake a huge, 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 huge unconscious energy like female competition, it needs to come up in order to be healed. And so where is it going to come up? It's going to come through the authors that are authoring the book. And, you know, we did it, but we were able to stop ourselves, recognize when we were doing it, and then release it and kind of come back to ourselves. So,
and it's amazing how that, you know, how it seems like it's almost like putting on a different set of sunglasses to go from seeing somebody as such a great support in your life and, to, and you know, such a, you know, just such a friend and a mentor, and all of a sudden it's like, how did she become my enemy? How did she become somebody who's threatening me? And then you, oh, that's right, we're writing about competition. It's right here between us. And it's amazing how quickly the perspective or the lens to your life can shift. So, you know, that was always very interesting to me, and such a realization that it can just make such a difference in your life when you are in competition and when you're seeing other women as your competitors, as your rivals, and how that then determines what you're creating. Because I know for me, you and I have talked about our process in competition, I tend to pull the covers over my head. I don't get anxious and get into fight mode and, you know, think, oh, I'm going to beat her. I end up giving up. When I feel like somebody's, you know, I'm competing with them or they're competing with me, I just give up, you know. And it's like, great, what am I now creating in my life? How am I creating? And I'm creating from such a constricted, you know, low energy space. And look what I'm then bringing in my life. And let's face it, you know, I think something you said earlier, Christy, about deliberately creating, we are always deliberately creating. We're always creating, not always deliberately, but we are always creating from our deep passion, our deep well of emotion. And I think this is something I just want people to get so clearly is you're not just creating when you want something, you know, want your desires and your dreams met. You're always creating from that deep well of emotion and your passion. And oftentimes what we're passionate about are the people we really don't like and the things we don't want. And, you know, that girl who lit me up and is threatening me. And, you know, so we end up creating such lack and scarcity in our lives because of competition and because of the things that we become passionate about within, the things that bring up deep and profound emotion, which is why Christy and I are always talking about, you know, it's important to recognize and release those things that are standing in your way because you're creating from them. You're creating from that source, from that thing that you actually don't want.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, as opposed to Rebecca, I mean, she would kind of retreat, and I would get, like, fired up, like almost this anxious, like, move faster, you know, beat the person, do better, you know, that kind of thing, and you know, just to feel better. I mean, I'm almost ashamed to tell the story, but I remember when we were starting to go through this and I was starting to really get that I was very competitive, I was on a houseboat trip with a bunch of friends, and my one girlfriend, it's just so sad that I did this. I'm almost, like, embarrassed to say this, but if it helps the audience to see what we're saying, you know, great. Because I wouldn't normally consider myself a competitive person. But then when this became awareness, when we were really recognizing this, and then the more you obviously allow yourself to become aware of something, the more you see it. But we went on this houseboat trip, and she literally wanted to learn how to wakeboard. And she had spent hours, I'm talking hours, like 4 hours out on this boat trying to get up on this wakeboard, and she couldn't get up. And everybody was, you know, trying to coax her and help her and, you know, and give her tips and all this kind of stuff. But no matter what happened, she just couldn't get up. And she was one of the women that I used to compete with. And I felt like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up the first time. And because I was so motivated to beat her, I literally did. I got up the very first time on that wakeboard. I stayed up for a couple seconds, went back down, and then came back up again. And I could see it. You know, I felt like, yes. You know, it was almost a feeling of, I'm better than her. But I looked at her, and she was just like, you know, great. And it might inflate you for a minute, but it totally deflated her.
And that's a really good point, Christy, because really when you look at it, were there any winners?
No.
I mean, of course not. It's like, it's such a lose-lose situation. And I just, you know, I thank you so much for having the courage, you know, to put it out there. I think that's what I love the most about you, Christy, is you're just always so courageous to put your stuff out there because you realize you're not your stuff, first of all. And,
yeah.
You know, and if it helps somebody else, if it helps anybody see that, you know, I do that too. And here's the truth, Christy, we all do that. We've all had a story like that within us where we're like, you know, for 5 seconds we were saying yes. And then we realized, you know, hopefully most of us are a little more aware where we're saying, who really won from this experience? We see her get hurt, you know, and we realize we didn't better ourselves. We're no better off for having engaged in that. So thank you for sharing that. And you were going to say
welcome.
One more thing. I think I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, it is just really amazing because one of the first times I came to you, and it was when the whole diamond thing, when my girlfriend had a bigger diamond ring than I was. You know, I'm a very spiritual person, and I've been in the spiritual practice for 10 years now, and you know, I'm very grounded and know a lot of the spiritual principles and all that. And I just literally wouldn't think of myself as being a competitive woman and competing with my friends. And it's just something that we're so not aware of. And
mm-hmm.
it's something that when you're not aware of it, obviously it is a thing that is huge resistance. And so it might be something that I just invite you to kind of have that awareness in your own life. Do I compare myself, you know, not maybe even in that extreme, but do I look at someone and go, oh, yeah, I'm not doing what they're doing, I'm this. And careful what you say to yourself about those things because the labels that you put on yourself, you know, you kind of grow into. And so
and it will either evoke deep anxiety, which then
right.
you're creating from deep anxiety that, you know, oh, my gosh, I'm not enough. I better get it. You know, I better get more. I better get that next best thing. I better have as much. You know, it will evoke that. Or it will evoke deep inadequacy, which will
yep.
shut you down. And, you know, and again, I think part of our show is really looking at how people create. Where are you creating from? Are you creating from that sense of well-being and contentedness and satisfaction and appreciation and gratitude, or are you creating from, you know, inadequacy and bitterness and anxiety and, you know, all of those places that competition take you? And I think when we're talking about the law of allowing, it's really allowing yourself to be in alignment with your absolute best and divine self. Allowing what is real and true to come through you, and if you're in alignment with what is real and true about your divine nature, nothing can compare to that. Everybody gets to be in their own space of absolute perfection. And so, you know, I think that's what we're aspiring to do is completely connect with that nature so that we are at our ultimate potential in creating.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I saw it again today in my coaching client, Elena. And by the way, she's like, I have to sign up for that class in October. I'll pay you right now. And I mean,
yeah.
She's just so excited about it because she saw how profound, you know, this work. And you know, there's only so much we can do on a radio show to help. And, you know, when we do the classes, we really take and really dive deep and do the action steps
very
and all
personal.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
It's very personal. It becomes
a very
individual journey. Go ahead.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the difference between what we talk about on the radio and when we do the coaching and things like that. But, I'm so excited. I feel so grateful that, you know, this work is going out there and it's changing lives. And because, you know, I know for me in the past, one of my things, and I hear this a lot from a lot of my coaching clients, is they kind of sabotage themselves to, it's almost like they allow themselves to feel that connection and that to that their well-being and that sense of joy. But then something comes along, and they almost like close off that channel. I've always said, and we said in our book, you know, if you imagine yourself as a pipe, you're free and clear to have divine to come completely through you. And
mm-hmm.
when you have that divinity coming through you, it's like things just flow. It's just ease and effortlessness. I mean, it's just total non-resistance, and things magically appear in your life. And the fastest, quickest way to get into that place is when you're in self-love, when you're in appreciation, when you're just allowing the universe to bring you what you want. And it's our resistance that kind of stuffs up that pipe. When we talked about today, competition, sabotaging yourself, feeling unworthy that you're able to even experience this joy. And I know that that's one thing that I used to experience a lot, where it was almost like that I was so not used to feeling that elated sense of joy. And even, and I would like create like crazy and have all this success and, get the house and get the car and, get all the stuff I wanted. But yet in the inside, I was just feeling this amazing joy. It wasn't about the stuff. It was just because I was feeling the joy and then the stuff came. But then there was a part of me that just said, this isn't right. You're not allowed to have all these things. And I would start to sabotage myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I really want to get clear to the listeners today is that it's your birthright. It's your natural way. It's your natural way of being. Being in joy is who you are. You are joy. You are in connection. I think Dr. Wayne Dyer says God equals good. Good equals God. So if you're feeling good, you're feeling God. And when you're not, when you're resisting feeling good, you're resisting God. So how can how can things you want to manifest come into existence? Because you're fighting against your source.
Right. Right. And another way to, another little thought to throw out there is, when we're allowing, we choose to create all these things. You said something that sparked a thought in me, Christy, and that is, the things that we create in our lives, sometimes we create them because we think they're going to bring us a certain feeling. But and I think that's the huge motivation for a lot of people to go out there and create stuff, create experiences, create, material possessions, because it's going to bring us a feeling. But we've often talked about this, I think if you can recognize that it's really the feeling you're going after, freedom, happiness, joy, well-being, contentedness, there's something, warm and fuzzy. There's something you're going after. And if you can recognize that and allow that feeling to come through, it's kind of going along with what you're saying. Recognize that that's already your birthright. That's already part and parcel to who you are. You don't have to go out and create the experience in order to then receive it. The experience is actually, you've talked about that before, Christy, the effect, not the cause. And so to think about it in those terms, a lot of times, when I'm really wanting to go after something, even as we're writing this book, it's like, oh, I really want this book to, I really want to finish this book. Why? What is the feeling that you're going after? And oftentimes it's like I want freedom. I want to feel like just, like that's off my plate. Really what I want to feel is freedom in my life. And so to connect back with the abundance of the universe, freedom is already part of my life. The feeling is there for me to reach out and grab at any moment. So I can take that, and then whatever comes from the life experience, because I'm in alignment with freedom, will be as it will be. But oftentimes we go about it, and I know we've talked about that over and over again on the show, but, we tend to go about things backwards, and when we're recognizing that all the things that we're trying to go after are already our birthright, they're already part of who we are, we just need to connect with them and not go about getting them by going outside of ourselves in order to bring the experience in so that we can therefore feel the experience. I hope that was understandable.
No, it totally is, and I think for the most part, I think people might be starting to get that on an intellectual basis, like, okay, well, I get it, but it's like on an emotional, spiritual level, that's where you need to anchor it in, that
yeah.
It's like, okay, I get that. I mean, I really get where I need to feel joy. And once you feel that joy within you, it's like all the other stuff is just doesn't matter because you already have what you want. And then when it does happen, because you're going to be in this amazing place, this amazing divine manifesting place, things come to you. And it's like you're not as like attached to it because you already have what you wanted. And
uh-huh.
I know we have talked about that, but it's like it's not
worth
so much
repeating. Bears
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Worth repeating, yes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Repetition is the skill of all mother of all whatever skill. Something like that.
The mother of all mothers.
Well, you you're calling her mother.
I say that with deep respect. You are the divine mother.
But I don't even know what I was talking about. No, but it's like one thing, you know, to get it in your head, but to really bring it into your energetic body, because that's where, you know, the universe doesn't hear what you say. It hears how you vibrate. And that's the thing, is that, you know, a lot of us get caught up on, okay, I think it is so cute when my coaching clients are like, okay, now I need to write down exactly what I want, but I want to make sure I'm writing it down. I'm like, the universe is already responding to you, and you don't have to write it down perfectly. Yes, I'm a firm believer in writing down your goals. I'm a firm believer in, you know, writing a description of what you want, and there's many processes to do that and everything, and all that is for you to raise your vibration. It's not for the universe. I mean, the universe, when you look at something and go, oh, traffic, I hate traffic, and you start, you know, giving a negative, like, oh, I hate traffic, rah, 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 you're totally sending out a signal, a very negative signal. And so what do you think you're going to get back? The universe is going to give you more traffic, because the universe is a very inclusive universe. It doesn't go, oh, she doesn't want that. It includes everything and gives you back everything. Everything is included in your vibration. So, you know, I hate when my husband does this, or I hate when my boyfriend does this, or, you know, yada, yada, yada. You're going to get more back. You're going
to
get
and that is the whole point of allowing and learning to surrender, because it kind of restarts, it reboots up where you need to be. It's almost like it reaches out and it hits the restart button on the computer, because like you said, you get stuck in traffic. We've all been there, and we can go to very quickly, you know, I can't believe I'm stuck in traffic. I can't believe this is happening to me. Or we start blaming ourselves. I knew I should have taken that alternate route. God, I knew I should have gotten off at the exit before. You know, whatever our thoughts do, and it ends up taking us to a very low vibration place. But if we can practice surrendering and allowing, and we become very practiced at it, instantly we can just let go. And you know, it's like, big deal. So I'm here. So I can just be with what is, and I can, you know, focus on what's magical about this moment, and I'm here, I'm alive, I'm, you know, with my kids, or I'm listening to the radio, or I've got this great CD on. You know, I've got time to breathe, you know, because where else am I going to go? If we can really learn to just let go and relax, what that does is it's almost like the energy starts to come back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the key to, and you know, and again, I really want to say this is a discipline. This is a practice, that there's nothing apathetic about this, or, you know, there's nothing about this that is, you know, resigning ourselves to just like whatever. It's not about that. It's really an active practice in aligning ourselves with that higher vibration of surrender and letting go, so that we can just naturally, you know, float back up to the top. You know, I think of it a lot of times, anybody who has ever kind of started to sink in a pool when you were learning to swim, and the more that you fight and you panic, the quicker you're going to sink. But what's the first thing they tell you when they're teaching you to float? It's like, relax, stop fighting, just relax and deep. Breathe deeply, and you just automatically, you don't even think about floating anymore. You don't think about, you know, coming to the surface. If you just relax and align with that calmness, you float to the top, and that allows the energy to come up to a higher place, and we then create from there. So
absolutely. That's a great point, too. And on that, you know, since you have the pool image going on, I really like what you're saying. It's kind of like with the course that we're having up in September, and I have a new Abundance Principle course coming up August 9th, and I'm halfway full. I only allow 10 people to come in, so I already have, without even advertising, I've had 5 people sign up.
Good job.
No, thanks. It's just amazing. One person, you know, gets an experience, and then they refer somebody else to me, so it's just really amazing how it's all happening. But my point is that, you know, someone can teach you or tell you how to swim. You know, they can teach you, okay, now you're going to get in the pool and you're going to wave your hands around and, you know, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And you might get it in your mind, but until you actually get in that pool, feel that water, feel what it's like to not have gravity, to have to actually maneuver yourself in the water will you get it in your whole entire physical body? And so that's what we do on our coaching calls and in our programs, is that we actually teach you how to do it so that you are maneuvering and that you're getting into your physical body so that you're having those life changes. I say it all the time. You can read an amazing book and read the book and put it down, but until you apply the information, until you really get it on a physical level, you know, you're not going to see major changes in your life. So it's really important. And, you know, you were touching on one thing, and I know a lot of people say, well, God, you know, is the law of allowing just kind of, you know, being apathetic or not going towards your goals? It kind of seems like, you know, you're just kind of giving up. But the thing is that it's a balance. It's like you said, it's relaxing and trusting and knowing that the universe is going to bring you everything you need in the perfect time. But when you get an inspired thought, when you get an idea that gets you excited, when you want to, say, write a book, if you get and this happened for Rebecca and I mean, to get inspired, you know, to write a book, the information flows to you. And at least that happened, you know, for both of us, but it also happened, like, when I wrote my first book, Perfect Pictures. I mean, the information just came to me, and I was in that allowing place to allow that information to come. But it was up to me that I had to take the action steps to get that book published. I had to actually do all the things that it took to make that dream a reality. And, you know, same with us, is that it's taking the action steps to make, you know, do the editing, to, you know, talk on the phone and continue to write the book, to create the different coaching seminars that we're creating. You know, it's a matter of taking that action, but it's definitely a balance. You don't want to be all action-oriented, because things get done a lot more and a lot with ease and effortlessness if you're, you know, using your universal manager, so to speak, than if you were just doing, going as fast as you can. I know I'm very guilty of that. A lot of times I just want to do, go. And it's like, you know what, you need to slow down, you need to stop, and you need to trust, and you need to allow, because it's in those spaces where you're connected. And when
I think that's why you and I balance each other so well, Chris. You know, you have a great expression where I sort of water you down. What's your expression? You fire me up and I hold you down.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think I tend to be more the, you know, love to be in that world of connectedness, but, you know, taking the action steps is sometimes it's like that's where Christy comes in to balance me out. She then brings in the, okay, let's get her done. You know, because I love to be in that, like, you know, ethereal space. But I think you're right, Christy. You know, it's like I can remind you to connect up and to be in that wonderful, magical space, and you always remind me, and now you need to, you know, sort of have heaven and earth meet. And on the earth plane, you have to actually get things done. You know, you can't just, there's that old story of you have to buy the lottery ticket too, you know. So that's it.
You get stuff done through both meditation and movement, not one or the other.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I have actually a funny story I forgot to tell you about. When I've gotten to a place in my life where it's very clear what I need to learn, and that's slowing down, because every person I continue to attract in my life that's very, very dear to me is a Cancer. And I'm a Scorpio, so I'm very intense. I'm very, you know, focused and that type of thing. And the Cancers that I'm attracting to my life, like Rebecca, she's a Cancer, she's a beautiful crab, and they have this calmness about them where they slow down. And my wonderful, beloved boyfriend, Frederick, he's also a Cancer, and it's just amazing to me, because everywhere I look around me, most of the people that are in my life that are the closest people to me are these Cancers. My godmother's a Cancer, my sister, you know, she's no longer on the earth anymore, but she was a Cancer. My dog was a Cancer. I mean, my cousin was a Cancer. Is a Cancer, I should say. You know, my boyfriend, my partner. I mean, it's just funny. And so, you know, you start kind of looking at what the universe is bringing you, what you need to learn. And I'm really starting to appreciate that part of that calmness and that, I don't want to say slow, but that, you know, that very surrendered part of being a crab. And I was sitting there on the beach, and I was thinking, oh, wow, you know, it'd be really nice. It'd be really neat to connect with my sister, because, long story short, she's been deceased for 9 years, and she was a Cancer, like I had mentioned. And I always connected, even at the time of her death, to crabs. And we had spread her ashes over the ocean. And right after we spread our ashes, a little black crab came and sat on some of the ashes, you know, that kind of came back on the cliff because the wind. And so it was like her, it was her saying to me, everything's okay. And so I was sitting on the ocean, or I was sitting on the beach, and I was just like, I'd love to connect with my sister right now. Immediately, a crab came out, and I hadn't seen a crab the whole time I was there, and this was like one of the last days. Immediately, a crab comes out, and I was like, oh, hi, Terry, and, you know, connected with her for a minute. And then I thought, but I need to bring in Frederick. I need to connect with Frederick. I am not kidding you. 2 seconds later, this huge, big crab comes out of nowhere. And so I'm like, oh, my God, that's so cool. I have my sister and Frederick with me. And I'm like, I got to bring in my sister. I'm like, come on, Rebecca. I am not kidding you. 2 seconds later, this beautiful little crab.
Was she wearing a tiara, though?
She was. She had a scepter and everything.
Did she have a wand? That was me.
It was crazy, though. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I literally called in, like, these three crabs, and it was just so funny because, you know, and here's, like, Rebecca. She's, like, this little, like, yeah, oh, yeah, here I go, you know. And it was just so funny. I just was laughing. So
She had a strut to her. She had attitude.
She's a sassy crab.
That's so funny, Christy. Oh, good job.
I love when stuff like that happens. But
yeah.
I know it knocked us totally off the mark, but I had to tell you that story.
Our point, and we do have one somewhere in here. Oh, gosh, I guess we didn't need one. We'll just allow. How about if we just allow it to be as it is? That's the best way. Oh, gosh, that's so funny, Christy.
Oh, gosh.
But even, you know, even just to make a little point, I mean, I don't know about your energy, but my energy just went up with that story. So it's sort of like allowing yourself to get off the mark and get off track. And it's like, look how fun that is. That was just fun and light. And my energy just seemed to soar with that. So,
yeah, but it's a, you know, I was definitely in a place of allowing. I was just, just kind of like, you know, hey, sis. And then all of a sudden a crab comes. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, I believed it. It might sound really minor and kind of funny, but it's like, I believed. And then I'm like, hey, Frederick, come on in. And then all of a sudden he comes in. And then, you know, another, hey, where's Rebecca? And then all of a sudden another crab comes out. And, you know, I was in that space of allowing.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel like, oh, that's not possible, or, you know, that no way another crab's going to come out. I mean, I was just in a beautiful, like, oh, this is so great, you know, this is so great and so beautiful, and it just completely allowed the universe to bring it.
That's a really good point, though, because in order to allow, you have to sort of open your mind to a bigger place, to an expansive place, and not control what you expect it to be. Because if you had really been controlling and expecting things to be a certain way, I bet you a part of your mind would have been, well, that's not possible.
Right.
I can't call in my sister. You know, it's like, as much as I want her to be here, I'm not going to see a crab come walking out of the rocks. And then, oh, my gosh, not another crab. That's not possible. You know, so I think, as you're saying that, Christy, it's really so true that allowing is allowing the magic to appear. And without preconceived notions, without our expectations getting in the way of how it should be. And then life, like just right now with such a great example, life then just becomes fun. It's just so fun, you know, and it's so heartfelt and light to be in that space where we're not, you know, controlling with our expectations everything that we expect to see in our world. I mean, that was just such a great story, and I can really see the law of allowing applied, where you just allowed it to show up. It did. I mean, it really did, and it kind of defies logic. It defies, you know, what can really happen. So I think that's when life just becomes fun and very magical.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a great story.
Oh, thank you. So just to kind of wrap up a little bit, like how do you allow? First of all, you accept this moment as it is, not as you think it should be. I mean, when we should on ourselves or when we should on other people, you know, we are taking away freedom. Because when you are saying to yourself, well, I should be this way, you're really taking away your choices.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really limiting yourself. And, you know, it has to be a certain way, and nothing ever has to be a certain way. We have many, many choices. We've talked about it on the show before, where it's like every moment you have a choice. You have a choice in the way you allow things or disallow things. You have a choice, and if you're going to stay stuck in fear or if you're going to move into trust and courage, you have a choice in every moment. You have a choice if you're going to be in a place of abundance or if you're going to be in a place of lack. But when you are saying language as, oh, it should be this way, you know, it makes it very restrictive. If you think about your life and we all want to expand. That's the purpose of our life, is we want to be able to expand. And when we say a word like, oh, I should do this or should do that, it's almost very contracting type of energy. But when you give yourself choices, you expand again. And, you know, take responsibility for how you feel. You know, really get in touch with how you feel and take responsibility for those feelings. And know that you have the ability to change how you feel. Another way is practice defensiveness. Thank you. When you defend your point of view, you are in resistance. Now, that doesn't mean that you should allow people to walk all over you, because I'm definitely one that, you know, is about boundaries and all that. But if, you know, everybody's entitled to their own point of view, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. And if you kind of take your hands and put them together and you kind of push against each other, you know, there's a lot of tension. There's a lot of constriction right there. But when you take one of your hands away, the other one can't fight against it, because there's nothing to fight against it. And, you know, Rebecca and I really go into that and kind of in the book, because it's like when you are competing with someone, it kind of takes two people to kind of like, you know, knock heads and have that resistance and that power struggle. But when you kind of lighten up and you release that, the person's competing with you kind of goes away, because you become expanded. And when you're in that place with, whether it's your partner, your mate, you know, whoever it is, your children, when you are trying to defend your point of view and you are doing it from a place of, you know, not allowing that person to be who they are, you are in resistance, and there is definite constriction and not expansion in that relationship. So
it takes a tremendous amount of energy to try to get somebody to believe your belief.
Absolutely.
To come over to your side. And the bottom line that, you know, as a couple therapist, I mean, I'm always saying this to people, the only person that's miserable, I mean, you do make the other, you know, when you make your partner cranky, for sure, when you're, you know, you're constantly trying to get them to do something, from as minor as pick up their shoes to, you know, change their beliefs, you do make them cranky and you make their lives, you know, uncomfortable. Boy, but you make yours, it's you that suffers. You're the one that's investing so much of your precious energy trying to get another person to do something that you believe they need to do for your happiness. So I think where you were going with this, Christy, is the law of allowing is when you just let that go and really choose. I mean, I'm definitely a believer in negotiating and, you know, getting your needs met, et cetera, but I think when we do that from a space of allowing, it really, you get where you want to go a lot faster, but you're happier in the long run because you're not constantly, like you were saying, Christy, resisting. You're not putting all of that energy trying to get somebody else to do something that you believe you need them to do in order to be happy. It's like you'll be so much happier if you just let it go. Let it go. Mm-hmm. You know,
yep.
So is that where you were going?
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. I'm glad you jumped in, because that's a great point.
Yeah.
So, and so the other things are, too, is just remember that your energy is completely unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow the path of non-resistance, you will experience happiness and bliss in your life, because your life will be flowing with effortless ease. It's amazing how that happens. Again, think about that pipe. If you take out that resistance, it just absolutely flows.
Can I throw in one other visual? I'm very, very visual, so I'm always throwing visuals out there. I see it, too, like a hose. Think of a garden hose, and you're trying to water your garden. You're trying to nurture and nourish it with all this flowing water. All of these, that resistance that Christy's talking about, is like kinks in a hose.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty soon you've got a dribble coming out, a few drops. And you're like, oh, God, I just feel so low energy. I just don't, I'm just depressed. Well, you know, a lot of it is because you're so not in the flow of well-being into that space of allowance. I'm sorry, I cut you off again, but go ahead.
No. It's always welcome, because I appreciate that. So the last thing I was going to tell you is and share with our listeners is, just release your intentions with detachment and trust in the process that the universe is going to bring you what you need when you need it, mm-hmm. all with effortless ease. Yes, you have to take your responsibility in rising your vibration. Yes, you have to put yourself in a place of being and allowing. And yes, you have to take action when you feel inspired, but you have to trust and allow.
And part of taking action is allowing.
Yes.
Well, that, there is that dichotomy again, or that irony again, but I think it's like, it is so paradoxical, but part of taking the greatest action you can take is to surrender your will to the greater will. I mean, and that is such practice, and I keep coming back to that ad nauseum. It's not resignation. It's not apathy. I think the greatest action we can learn to take in our life is to surrender to the greater will and kind of relinquish our smaller will. So, yeah, I think that those three steps are wonderful. I mean, those are the action steps to be taking. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, if anybody would like to sign up for my abundance course, which starts on August 9th, and it goes through the 6th of September, they're every Thursday night, 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and the classes will be recorded if you happen to have to miss a class. You can go to my website and find out, sign up directly on the website at christywhitman.com, and that's Christy, C-H-R-I-S-T-Y, Whitman, W-H-I-T-M-A-N.com, christywhitman.com, or you can email me, and that's Christy at christywhitman.com, or you can call me at 610-883-7345. I will have to say that if you want to sign up for the self-love course, we're not going to be taking applications, or not applications, we're not going to be having anybody sign up until September, because we want to be able to get all the ducks in a row and all that kind of stuff. So, but if you are interested, just send us an email and we can try to put you on a waiting list for that. And Rebecca, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, just people can contact me. They can either go to my website, which is www.RebeccaGrado.com, or you can always contact me. I do phone consultations, and my number is area code 925-829-6745. And, yeah, this has been great. I mean, I think this is kind of a topic that's near and dear to our heart, and we talked a lot about competition, which I think, you know, the listeners will hear us talk about a lot, because I think that is something that is probably one of the biggest culprits that gets in the way of people manifesting all that they desire. So I'm really glad that that topic came up again today. And I think just that whole concept of letting go and surrendering and allowing the well-being of the universe to come in is something that is really new, and people are starting to get, you know, sort of more in alignment with, and I think that that is just something we will probably continually come back to and touch on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so next week I will be gone again, because I am going to another certification to become even a more of a master creator, so I'm very excited to come back with even more exciting information for our listeners and to apply in my own life and to share with the rest of the world. So, but I believe you're having Karen come back next week, right?
Yeah, she was so interesting and great, and she just, her story is fabulous. So I hope everybody enjoyed it last week, and well, stay tuned next week to hear more from Karen.
Sounds great. Thank you all so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a wonderful, divine day.